Okay, we were having a bit of technical difficulty there, so we will go back to Barbara.
Okay, Barbara. I'm here with Mitch. Mitch, are you a recovering heroin addict?
I am, yeah. We're 4 years, 4.5 years clean.
And how do you start in all this?
How did I start on heroin?
Yes, drugs, heroin.
I started taking drugs, I suppose, when I was about 12. You know, I probably, like a lot of people, I came from a very dysfunctional family, probably like most people these days. But, yeah, I started smoking hash when I was about 12 with an older cousin, and I would have started smoking hash. And all the way through my 20s would have experimented with LSD and coke and speed, and started taking heroin at a late age. I was probably 29 when I started taking heroin, and was just going through a kind of a bad time in my life. And, yeah, just with the wrong person in the wrong place, and started taking heroin when I was 29, probably just to get rid of all the uncomfortable feelings I was feeling at the time.
You were having lots of family problems?
Family problems and personal problems, yeah, and just discovered heroin. I probably smoked heroin once or twice when I was about 16, didn't particularly like it, but I probably just had a reckless attitude myself, you know, and I played a lot of music and stuff, and just had this kind of romantic notion that, you know, heroin was just another drug that I could experiment with, and found out the hard way.
Found out the very hard way. How long did it take before you were addicted to the drug?
I was probably mentally addicted straight away. It was just, I fell in love with it straight away. I just thought, you know, this is great. And I would say physically addicted after about 6 months. I remember being over in London, and, you know, I obviously went over with nothing and had been smoking every day, and then realised, you know, I feel terrible, you know what I mean? I have a bit of a flu or snotty nose, and I was sick for a day or two, and, you know, I realised then that I was actually strung out.
And that was the first time you realised that?
Yeah, you know, certainly for the 12 years that I was on heroin, yeah, it was, you know, the sickness would have lasted a day or two. By the end of my using, you know, it would take me at least 2 weeks to even get an hour of sleep. You know, I'd be crawling and scratching and biting and, yeah, all the desperate things that go with it. Yeah.
And how do you find the money to feed your addiction?
Well, you know, as we talk, I had a chat with you yesterday about the whole thing, and, you know, certainly my attitude about addicts or heroin addicts or drug addicts is that there's no stupid drug addicts, because you've got to be mindful enough, or, you know, of the know-how to get up in the morning and find 50 quid just to get your day started. So, you know, there's no stupid heroin addicts out there.
And how much would you spend a day when you're at the height of your addiction?
As much as I could get, to be honest with you. You know, I would certainly need probably between 50 and 100 quid a day just to, you know, feel normal, you know, maintain myself. But if I had 600 quid, it would go in the day as well.
Just everything would go?
Everything would go. Like, even I would try, I wouldn't even be able to keep something over for the morning. It would just go.
Just gone, yeah. And how long were you addicted?
Well, I had 12 years on heroin, which is kind of, you know, I kind of, it just seemed to go by in a flash, you know, when I kind of, you know, it doesn't, I have friends now, I don't really see them that much, but it's amazing how the time just flits by, and, you know, what I look back and think 12 years, wow, that's a long time.
12 years, wow, it's an awful long time. And why did you decide to give it up?
Because I was miserable. I was just really miserable. It was just an awful existence, and I really had just pushed it into the ground, and I just was, you know, I wasn't, you know, like they say, oh, the drugs stopped working, you know, they certainly did. It wasn't that I was, you know, feeling great when I took them. I was just, you know, it would just be to motivate myself through the day, and, you know, it was just a miserable existence. So I remember saying to a guy, well, listen, you know, I'm really going to, like, I tried to get clean loads of times, but I remember saying to a guy when I was scoring off him, I said, listen, I'm going to really try and knock this. I'm going to sign myself into hospital or something and really try and put this behind me. He said, no, you'll be back, man, in a couple of weeks, no problem. You know what I mean? You're not going to give it up, you know what I mean? But I think I just found something in myself where I just thought, you know, I've got to get out of this some way. And I knew at that stage that I couldn't do it on my own. that I needed somebody else to help me, or I needed some kind of help. So I signed myself into Beaumont Hospital and spent a month there. And I was kind of glad when the door clicked locked behind me. Now, I could have left at any time, but I wanted to be locked up. And I needed somebody else to kind of intervene. And so I kind of did a month in hospital, detoxed there in St. Michael's Ward up in Beaumont. And then I went into the Rutland Centre to do that 5-week kind of lockdown there as well, and all the counselling and the therapy and all that. So, and it worked. I worked because I wanted it to work, really, you know. The sad thing about it is that, you know, I've said the failure rate is apparently 75% of people will go back using kind of, you know, within a couple of months. And it's hard to know what your rock bottom is, you know what I mean? For me, yeah, my life was miserable. You know, I was, you know, 11 stone, like I'm now kind of 13, 14 stone. I was just miserable, you know, robbing my ma's handbag and robbing money and, you know, just, you know, I think, and when you're doing all those things, you just feel bad in yourself, you know. I just got to the stage where I just didn't care and I just wanted out, really.
Yeah, and, I mean, your addiction has left you with scars. Would you like to tell us about that?
Well, yeah, just, I think towards the end, about anything I could dissolve on a spoon, I injected it into myself, you know, whether it was coke or ketamine or heroin or whatever, and I end up covered in abscesses and scars and whatever, you know. So, yeah, I have the scars to prove it, all right.
Yeah, and what would you say to anybody strung out today listening to this? What would your advice be to them?
Well, just, I never liked the attitude of certain doctors, and that they would, you know, you're a lifetime, you're gone, like you're going to be on the methadone for ages. Well, I believe everybody can get clean, and it's just, you know, and as I said, you know, when 12 years flits by, I think I just thought, okay, well, if I put myself through the mill for 3 months, you know, and get clean, you know, would it be worth it? You know what I mean? I didn't want to do another year of my life just wasted away. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't know. For people, I just believe that everybody can get clean. There is this kind of fear, you know, all addicts want to, you know, oh, well, you know, if I'm going to wean myself off this and I'm going to wean myself off that. Like, there is no easy out with heroin. If there was an easy out, I'd be still doing it, you know, really. And you know what I mean? That is the bottom line, is that you're going to feel crap for a couple of months. But, you know, it's a couple of months, and certainly I can say that, you know, I'm happier than I've ever been since I started taking heroin. Now that I'm 4.5 years clean, just my life has really improved. It took a while, but, you know, I know people are still out there using, and, you know, but it's possible to do for everybody. You know, I think everybody, as I said, there isn't a stupid junkie out there, you know, and everybody, I think, when you do push it into the ground, you know, your life is fairly miserable, you know, everything goes, like, it just robs your soul, and, you know, any kind of creativity you might have will certainly be swallowed up just by being an addict and needing to score and feel what some way monged out, you know, as, you know, that being your normality. It's just not worth it, you know.
It's just not worth it. Well, look, Mitch, thanks very much for telling our story. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us?
Not really. It just, you know, my heart goes out to, you know, a lot of young people I see, you know, around Abbey Street and place like that, and, you know what I mean, I kind of really feel for those people, you know. It's just an awful existence, and, you know, I'm glad to be clean, and it's great to be straight.
That's great, Mitch. Thank you very much for being on the show. Ronnie, we're going back to you in studio.
Okay, look, thanks very much for that interview, Barbara, and thanks also to Mitch.
I will indeed.
And I believe that you hope to come to us next week from Moore Street.
We're hoping to come in from Moore Street, talking to all the foreigners and the old dubs that are there all their lives.
Absolutely great. Look forward to listening to you next week then, Barbara.
That's grand, Ronnie. Take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
And that was our roving reporter, Barbara Jennings.